I guess going to start by saying my name is Hunter Kressel, and the relevance of that is somewhat dubious. My only interest in this, and the reason I asked to moderate the panel, is I do a meager webcomic, and yes, I'm going to put in a plug for Vexar 2X's 2Rs. Read it, do me the courtesy, and please drop me an email and tell me how much you hate it. But that is to place in stark contrast the quality of these wonderful webcomics, which I'm sure everybody here reads, and I'm no... I bought a book from you, ma'am, and it's wonderful, and I love it. I'm actually going to let our guests introduce themselves, and all I'm going to do is facilitate your questions to them. I assume that's the format you guys are kind of shooting for. I'm looking at you. I'm going to take that as a yes. So this is about webcomics and anything you want to know about them. So I'm going to hand it off, starting with the Devil's Panties.
Hi. My name's Jenny Breeden. I do the Devil's Panties autobiographical webcomic updates every single day. My brain's fried.
Too much con.
I started it in 2001, and I've got comic books.
And I'm going to ask everybody to speak up a little bit, because we do get dinned through the door back here, and everyone...
Speak up.
Here. Yeah, lean into the mic, you know.
Hello.
What are we wearing?
Anyway. Hi, I'm Kitty Hawk. I write Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki. You can find that at sgvy.com. Yes, sgvy.com. Your one-stop shop for sexy fun. And this year, we're debuting our USB drive for the Monsters Academy 9th Anniversary 1 GB USB drive, which includes The Jar, my first comic, Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki, and it updates. It will get new comics on here if you push the little update button. And it's only $30 online, $25 here at the con. I know you want to buy one.
I should have plugged my
600 pages of comic.
I'm Pete Abrams, and I do Snuggy Sex. don't read my comic. No.
Don't you do stories about bunnies and
bunnies
about with switchblades?
Yeah, something like that.
Some sort of pornographic animal thing.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You know. Seriously, my name is John Lotshaw. I do a strip called Accidental Centaurs, and I'm also the publisher and owner of Moonbase Press, which is honored to be publishing the comics of this guy.
I'm Bill Holbrook. I do Kevin and Kel, which will be celebrating its 13th anniversary on September 4th. And I'd like to thank this gentleman to my right for publishing the Kevin and Kel books through his imprint Moonbase Press.
Thank you. You'll get your check.
Yeah.
This quarter.
Well, you know what? I'm actually going to ask the first question because this is really cool to me. Talk about the process of moving from books to completely digital media for distribution, how you made the decision, and how easy or difficult it is.
Don't you think it's the other way around?
What?
Because we all started digital.
And well, okay, much in R2-D2 terminology, it's 3-2-3. It's going from digital to paper and out of digital again, I guess.
Yeah.
Or in your case, maybe it's a straight digital-to-digital transfer. I don't know.
That's me.
Yeah, that's her. Yeah, she's
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll start. Well, I never have published my comic in a print form, but last year I sold CDs with the comic on it, and they sold really well. So I had this idea to make the USB drives, and they work in Mac, Linux, Windows, pretty much every browser, and we made this in a week. And they're only $25, 600 pages of a comic. But I'm selling it again. But I
out of curiosity, where can we find these again?
Well, you can find them at sgvy.com. Yes. I have decided that I want to go the completely digital route, and that's probably because I started out digital, and I'm kind of, when I'm working in a medium, I try to push the medium as far as possible. And when I thought about print, I thought about the cost, and I thought about, like, there's this one comic where we have a blinking arrow, and that doesn't really translate. You can't do that in print unless we had, you know, the magic paper that blinks and stuff. But I feel this is a better way to present it, because, like, You get something you can own. You get the program. You can put this on your computer and then go use this, you know, I don't know, put porn on it or something. You can put porn on it anyway. But I feel this is the way I want to go because I can see that, like, everything's going digital now. You know, most people buy things on MP3s instead of CDs. And this is just the way I wanted to go. Yeah.
No, I am. For somebody that makes their living on webcomics, I'd rather read a book. There's definitely a different... I process things differently when I read them in a book as opposed to on a computer screen. If I like a webcomic, I would rather buy their book and read it. I actually emailed the girl that does Dar, I got the comics from the girl that does Dar, but there was a girl that does the Chaos Comics, which is all these different high schoolers going through their own self-awareness of their gender and their preference. And each one is from the different perspective. And I emailed the woman and I said, I want the book version because I want to flip back through and see, because it has each different kid's perspective of how they met each other. And I want to flip back through a book and read about that as opposed to the computer where you have to click back through all of the pages to try to find it. So I would rather have a book. So I have gone from the internet is the way to lure you in. First hit's free, get you nice and addicted, and then guide you over to the store page where I've got all the books that have cartoons that you can only read if you buy the Dead Tree Press. But my boyfriend came over to the show, which is the one show in the 20 shows that I do a year that he comes to, and he sees what is that called again?
The Montrose Academy 9th Anniversary 1 gigabyte USB drive.
And where can we find that again?
SKU number 374-809.
Operator standing by.
But he picked it up and he said, oh, this is so cool. And my boyfriend doesn't find anything that I do interesting. So the fact that he... Well, not any of the
sounds
books
like
or anything.
Your boyfriend.
That he's... No, I'm very low-tech and he's very high-tech. So the fact that the high-tech guy thought that the USB said this was cool, I thought that would be an interesting marketing thing. So that's my next goal.
Well, just to echo what Jenny was saying, a lot of our customers have found that there is value to having the print medium there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it is really a pain dragging the computer into the bathroom every time. So there is something about
that's
that.
That's what cell phones are for.
Yeah.
The Jesus.
Yeah, phone. But then you drop it and it, yeah.
Whatever. Get better hands.
Anyway. yeah.
That's why you don't put your hands in the water.
Yeah. there's just something that really enables you to connect for a lot of people with it on paper. And there's a permanence to it. And It's a good way to generate merchandising for a webcomic and generate revenue off of a webcomic, which is a whole other question altogether, which I'm sure we will get to at some point tonight.
But well, to add to that, like, yeah, it is the, like, owning of the thing, but I feel that, like...
Oh, there's... Yeah. I mean, there's room for both.
But the thing is that, like... When you're presenting a comic, you have to think about the medium. And, like,
yes.
My comic would definitely not do well in print. Like, the bright rainbow of colors and stuff. So
you're right. I mean, it's going to vary from comic to comic.
Yeah.
There is no one solution for everybody.
But I think an important point to make is, like, for future webcomic artists, you have to think about, like, if you are going to do print, start thinking about it from the beginning. Because, you know...
When you archive them at 72 DPI, when you go actually do get picked up by a publishing company and you have 1 month to put the book together, then you realize you have to redraw 330 cartoons.
Yeah.
Or rescan them.
But also, like, you know, color, and also you should probably talk to a printer, like, before you even start? Because, like, don't they have, like, special guidelines that they want for...
Depending on... and it also depends on how much you want to pay.
Yeah.
A standard graphic novel book is 6.25 by 10.7...
To 10.25, I think.
Yeah. And then there's the manga size, a bit smaller size, the 9x6 is a really nice pocket size. Now, the readers, if you change your... You start off your book 9x6 because it's cheaper, and then you decide you want to change the format. The fans, the completionists, don't want to get book one digest size and book
that
two.
Oh, that bugs the hell out of me.
So, yeah. They have to be all neat and tiny.
Yeah.
They're not even. Pull out the chainsaw.
Well, one of the differences between online and print that originally attracted me to doing webcomics in 95 was the idea of an archive.
Mm-hmm.
With a traditional newspaper strip, a reader only has the strip that's right in front of them that particular day. And I was attracted to the medium by the existence of being able to have an archive where you can do a long storyline where readers wouldn't get lost. They can just go back and see the next month, the next week, the past 6 months, all at once.
Yeah.
And indeed, new readers can start off.
Yeah.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, I was attracted to the medium because, like, I was new to it. I didn't know anything about it. This was, like, in 2001. And I mean, if I wasn't on the web, I don't think I'd reach as many fans as I do. Like, I've got German fans. I've got plenty of British fans. I have a Japanese fan that was translating the comic for a while.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, back into Japanese, so I thought this was kind of, you know, since it's manga style, I was like... Oh, cool.
Do you have any Scandinavian fans with your Norse mythology?
Yes, I do. I actually have an Icelandic fan who has invited me to come there when they're building a theme park to the Norse gods.
Sweet.
And it's supposed to open in 2000...
Valhalla Land.
Yes. In 2014, it's supposed to open, and they invited me to come, and
cool.
I'm like, oh,
cool.
Yes, I'm totally there.
Because most webcomics are, you know, free.
Mm-hmm.
How do you actually generate income?
How do we generate income? Oh, that's a fabulous question.
Yeah. Yeah, the question was how do they generate income other than...
Yeah.
Ads?
Well, ads are a good way to, you know, generate some income. That won't get you much, but it'll cover your server costs. I mean, my server costs are covered by ads. And, like, T-shirts...
There's ads,
fabulous USB drives.
There's advertisements, donations, and merchandise.
Yes.
Was there anything else that can you guys think of to make money, other than prostitution?
Well.
Sorry, there goes mine.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get this gentleman back here.
What are the steps that you take to make a webcomic from something that just your friends read to something that's read worldwide? How do you get from point A to B?
Do you mean
links.
Posting it online, or do you
or
mean
like
getting people
it
to
out,
read
the
it?
The word out.
The word out.
Links.
Exchanging links.
Yeah.
Do not necessarily fan art, but when a artist wants a vacation, then they get guest strips from other people. I did a guest strip for Randy Mulholland of Something Positive, and that got me 5,000 hits in one day.
Yeah. Tell your friends to tell their friends, you know. I also did a Google ad for a while.
The thing that kicked mine off was advertising. I bought advertising space on Kevin and Kel, and my daily unique IPs went from 80 to 800 overnight, and my bandwidth, well, I got shut off on the third of the month.
This was
back when you had a lot of accounts that were 5 gigabytes of traffic a month, which when you've only got 80 people coming to the site a day, that's fine. But when you have 800, it was a happy problem to have.
Can I just add that he kept those people?
Nice. Yeah, I did. Managed to keep most of them. So
yeah,
that's when you know.
And also
go
to cons.
Yeah.
Well, and don't be afraid to be a whore.
If you put a mirror site up on a bunch of different services, because before I did sign a contract with Keenspot, so they have exclusive rights.
Yeah.
But before that, I had the comic up on Drunk Duck and MySpace and LiveJournal and Project. You know, anywhere that I could put it up, I put it up. So you got your name on a list.
Yeah.
And I was going to add to that, it also helps if you can trick your ISP owner and operator to be a fan. So if you get an email going, yeah, dude, I love your comic, true story, I love your comic, I decided to give you unlimited bandwidth and space.
Woo!
Oh, how kind.
Or just tell people it's satanic pornography. I mean, that works really well, too.
You seem to have a lot of links from people you know, right? You only do links you know. Chaos is like, I'm a big fan of that one too, in your comic, which I do very complex at times.
Both
the girls.
What? That you have a very complex
webcomic
storyline.
With the gods, and like, so what's happening with them.
What's happening with
them? So what's the question?
Like, you seem to only post like links to comics you know, that they have, or you have links with.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That I don't. And so the question is, how do you get a link onto a site that when we only post our friends?
Yeah.
Or what are your guidelines
for
links?
Get to be one of her friends.
Oh, I'll go ahead and say my links page is pretty woefully unkept.
I just use Project Wonderful.
Yeah. But if I see something I like, I'll probably post it in my blog. Like recently, I posted some people who did some fan art for me. Like she said, you know, do stuff for other people, do some fan art. And
Jenny just mentioned Project Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Project Wonderful is a advertising system that uses a bid model. So a webcomics creator will put a space and will say, here's my minimum bid. And people who have not only webcomics but other products as well can come and decide, oh, I want to try and get on this site, mm-hmm. put in bids, compete against other people, drive the bid price up, and it's running on it's a rotating auction. So the someone who is winning the bid right now might not be doing it winning the bid next time you refresh the browser. So you can't get some rotation in there, but it can be very inexpensive, very cost effective for ways. When we getting ready to launch and announced pre-orders for the 13th Kevin and Kel book, Pregnant Pause, available at Table 50, Bill Holbrook's table.
And how much does that cost?
It costs $15.95, $17.28 with tax, and Bill will sign them too. So, yep. But. When we got ready to do that, I went through Project Wonderful, and I was able to get pretty high traffic sites. I ran for a little while on Devil's Panties. I was just doing this just as an experiment, and got quite a bit of response. Ran on Devil's Panties, got on PvP, and a couple of other very high traffic sites for a relatively small amount of money.
Yeah.
So Project Wonderful, if you've got a webcomic and you want to try to get some publicity for it and do it through advertising, that's a very good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. About advertising getting links from non-friends, I did not know John until he approached me for advertising on Accidental Centaurs, which is the same case as several other Kevin and Kel advertisers, such as Inherit the Earth, Doc Rat, or Guy Jin. Three also excellent webcomics that advertise on Kevin and Kel.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask someone like, hey, can I advertise on your site? Mm-hmm. I have money.
Yeah, and even if they don't have advertising available on there, hit them up. They might be willing to send PayPal them $20 and they might
everyone
let you put
has
a banner
their price.
On there.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody has a price.
We're artists. Everything's for sale.
And we're usually desperate, too. So
everything.
Starving artists.
Keep that in mind.
Even your hat?
No. I'll make hats.
There's prices. Everybody has a price. Everybody has a limit.
Talk to me later.
$10,000?
$10,000 for that hat?
No. $5 million.
Really?
That way I can be middle class.
What have you done to the hat? What have you done to the hat?
It's infused with my magic webcomic creating powers.
Have you ever washed it?
No. That would take the magic out, of course.
Yeah. Or magic or bugs?
It lives in a very clean environment.
I know that...
We don't have bugs.
I know that wit is something that you're really either born with or it's not something you can really develop. So
yeah. Says you.
Aww. Don't be mean.
Is there anything when you're writing a comic that subjects, topics, or anything that you should really avoid if you want to be successful, or is it just anything fair game?
Everything is fair game.
On the web, everything's
but
fair game.
But seriously,
the more horrific and shocking, the better. I mean, yeah. Dead baby jokes, deep frying baby.
Squish bread.
I think the only negative thing I ever got was, I think that the biggest controversy that I ever did was one comment about circumcision.
Yeah.
And apparently that is a very controversial subject.
The only controversial comic I ever did was like a masturbation joke, and the only hate mail I got was from my grandmother.
Oh, my mom. Now, my mom loved my scroll button joke. My mom was like, I want a t-shirt.
Yeah. My mom reached
Gentlemen, my have you had any problems with masturbation jokes?
None.
But it really, it just depends on what your comic yeah. is and the tone that you set for the comic. You will find the audience that will find your jokes funny.
Yeah. Do what you think is funny, and they will find you.
Yeah, because there are people even more depraved than you are out there. So you will find an audience
Maybe.
That will find you funny.
Now, I have realized that I steer away from political jokes and political commentary. I have a lot of servicemen and women reading my jokes, so I try to keep it upbeat, and I try to keep it funny, and I'm veering away from any of my political views because I know that they really... They don't think the same thing.
I have service fans, too. They like transgendered Valkyries. In fact, I drew one guy in Iraq a picture of Yuki on his favorite kind of tank. And sent it to Iraq.
But you will find out what your audience is like because they will contact
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will know. After a little while, you'll get an idea of what's going to be appropriate and what's not yeah. going to be appropriate for your audience.
Yeah,
and who's really in charge.
Never feel like, you know, you have to do something because you think, like...
It's edgy.
Yeah, it's edgy. Do what you want to do.
And depending on the jokes,
people like you out there because there's only 8 people in the world. Yeah,
when I started my strip, the tone that I was doing on it was completely different from what it is now, because I thought that's what webcomics were supposed to be, and it turned out it was completely wrong for me and it was wrong for the audience, and they let me know that as the strip developed. So your audience will help you develop your strip mm-hmm. and help you develop the tone and the voice that you want to have or that the strip wants to have. The strip will you'll find it,
or just do what you want.
It'll come out of your character. In Kevin and Kel, there's no foul language. The sex is always off screen. The violence is always off screen. But once I killed off a character, and that led to a firestorm on the mailing list. So you never know what's going to happen or to set people off.
Depending on the jokes that you make depends on your fans. Because you could make... I try to keep everything... I try not to do negative things, and I try not to be mean, and I get fans that send me brownies, and I like normal brownies. Which, that's not an invitation. I really don't want to be...
And on the other hand, you get
fans that are like, Randy! We know you're home! So be careful what kind of jokes you make.
Okay. This is more of a technical question. If you guys... When you're starting to draw a comic for a day, like, what size are you doing your sketch work, and maybe what ratio is it in? Because for somebody who works in more traditional media, we just pull out, you know, 9x12 mm-hmm. sheet and go to town. But getting it in the right format where the size translates well off your scanner and stuff seems to be interesting.
8.5x11 copy paper, and I base the panels off of how easy it was to fold the paper, and so I didn't have to use a ruler.
Yeah, I started with 8.5x11 paper, like copier paper. Now I use this like nice cotton paper that my friend at Kinko's gave me, and the Holic pencil and the stick eraser. And then I have a wonderful Intuos tablet that's the greatest thing you'll ever buy. You'll never have to buy ink pens again. And if you work at really high resolutions, when you shrink it down, it looks gorgeous.
I use comic art boards that are 11 by 17 that I get at art supply stores. There's a brand called Fanboy. Their slogan is "Get out of the basement," and they're made by Cancelin, which is a very high end paper company. That's what I use. So I'm doing full size comic pages now. When I was doing the strip in a strip format, they also had comic boards, comic strip boards that were like 4 by 13, and then I scan them on my scanner.
Yeah,
and,
scanner's your friend.
And scan them at 600 DPI so that I can reduce them down to whatever size I want, and it still looks razor sharp.
Yeah.
I just use tracing paper over my pencil rough so I don't have to re-pencil something on Bristol board. It saves me a step.
Yeah.
I work on the strips that I work on end up being 13 inches wide by 3 1/4 inches deep.
Yeah. But
what do you ink over the tracing paper?
With a rapidograph.
Mm-hmm. But I recommend getting a tablet. I know that like traditional is like it's fun. I love it. It's great. But if you don't have a lot of money, this is a lot of money up front to get a tablet. But now you can get like a nice little tablet for $100.
Yeah.
You will just get yourself like a paint program. What I don't care how you get it, but the GIMP is free, and it's a pretty good program. It's progressing very fast. And you'll save a lot of money in the long run by having a tablet because you don't have to invest in so much.
Even if you're going to do things traditionally and then scan them, a tablet comes in handy for touch-up.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing that I don't like about a tablet is drawing here and seeing it up here.
But that's like a thing you can teach yourself.
And I just am too lazy to do that.
Yeah, well...
Which is why, and also, I've been drooling over the Cintiqs, which have the panels, the LCD panels
didn't
built
you have
into
one
them.
Of those?
I didn't like it.
Where is it?
My boyfriend's using it to read comic books. in bed.
Uh huh. Oh, well, but the thing is that the way I cut myself off of traditional was I bought a tablet, I didn't use it. And then one day I just said, I'm just not going to buy any more ink pens. And then they ran out one day, and I forced myself to use the tablet. And you will, for 2 weeks, be very frustrated, probably throw the pen, and then worry about the warranty. But it's like when you learn to draw. I mean, it really is. You have to teach yourself how to do it, and it will be worth it.
His hand has been up for like a half hour, and it's making my arm hurt.
Well,
okay, her and then him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Two things. You talked about creating a fan base and how your fan base can help you tailor your comic to get more readers. How do you do that if your fan base doesn't talk back to you? And if you do a life-based comic, how do you tailor your life to get the material?
Well... Having your own reality is a lot of fun. And it's your version of reality, and it's your view of what exactly happened, which might not have actually happened.
No, it did. It did. Because it's
totally
in your brain. But a way to get good feedback is, like, you can start a forum. I mean, put your email address out there. Don't be afraid. I mean, you're going to get tons of spam, and that's what... God made Gmail for, and God is Google.
Yeah, set up a Gmail account and.
But and you can also run like if you have your own like domain, and like you have a mail server, you can run your mail through Gmail, and that's your spam filter right there. But and this is just my opinion on a life comic. If it's your life, write about your life. Don't care what the fans think. I mean, you know, we'll care what they think, but. But at the same time, it's your life. Write it as it is. Because that's what makes it interesting.
And you'll figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
I've actually had the cartoons that I've done where I think it's a cop-out cartoon, and I don't think it's funny at all, and I just have to fill it in the blanks.
Yeah.
It turned out to be some of their favorite cartoons. The mosquitoes thinking that my blood tasted like chocolate. I was cringing when I did it. I was like, this is such a cop-out. This is so campy, and that everyone loved it. So it, and then And I try to follow what it is that I think that they like, and then that turns out falling flat. So you have to take all of the comments with a grain of salt. You have to be like, well, they kind of liked this one. I didn't like doing it, so I'm going to move on and do my own thing.
If you don't do your own thing, too, you'll start to feel like it's not you anymore. Like, then you'll get sort of like, you'll get bored and you won't do it anymore, and you'll just sort of trail off. So just think of who your biggest fan is, and that's yourself.
How do you guys take
But in terms of generating the feedback when you're not getting any, give your readers as many opportunities as they can to contact you.
Yeah.
With like set up an email address with Gmail.
Without directly contacting, no phone numbers, no house
address. Yeah,
get a PO box.
You don't want to do that.
Get a PO box.
That is not.
But set up a forum. There are also if you don't want to go through the hassle of setting up a forum. On your own server or whatever, there are ones out there that have spaces available for webcomic creators to do that and publicize that in your strip.
And there are forums out there that like they're run by other people and they like focus around other webcomics. So they'll run them for them. Like my forum is hosted on Ponju, and he runs it for me, and he does a really good job of doing so. And that's how I got my forum. So, you know, just go out there, look at different stuff. And also, you know, some people do MySpace, some people do LiveJournal, some people do DeviantArt, and just try a lot of things.
But let it be right for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let it be known that you're inviting the feedback, that you want to hear it.
Yeah.
And it will come. And sometimes you will wish that it would stop, but let them know it's coming in and it will.
I always want feedback. Give me lots of feedback.
Yeah,
it powers.
The eighth email that you get saying, yes, I know that Girl Genius put that cartoon up about that has my name in it. And yes, I know that I spelled that wrong. Yes, thank you for telling me that. No, really, I know that I spelled that wrong. Thank you. No,
I
really.
Love every
you get
email
comments
I get.
On your spelling. Why?
Oh, my favorite one recently was, how I can't believe you don't take this seriously, and if you don't have a base idea of, if you don't have a base comprehension of literature and spelling, then you're not going to make anything of yourself in the comic industry.
Oh, man.
And you're not going to be a real you're not going to make it as a comic or writer if you don't get serious about this. This was last week.
Oh.
Did you tell?
Thanks for the input. I have to go to a convention now.
I think your mom's calling.
Yeah.
Did you scan the last check you got and mail it to him? Or
I think that what I said. I'm really glad that you're getting a laugh out of the retarded little girl's comic daily free webcomic. Have a nice life.
I love the rant that you had several years ago on that subject. That was brilliant.
I apologize. I had one email that said, because, okay, if anybody that doesn't know, I am learning disabled. no, just to put it lightly. I spell phonetically. I have trouble remembering names and dates. My brain works differently, which makes the comic kind of interesting. And so one day I was trying to spell chivalrous. You spell that phonetically, and it sounds like an SH.
Yeah.
So I went through online dictionaries. I went through word processes. I went through everything. And a half an hour later, I go down to my boyfriend. I say, honey, how do you spell chivalrous? And a roommate turned to me and said, oh, my God, don't you have a fucking dictionary? How can you not know how to spell chivalrous? So then I wrote this rant.
After you beat them up.
And after going through, since first grade, I wasn't reading in first grade. Second grade, I got to go to the special kids class. The kid that had the beard, the little girl that was pregnant. I mean,
the kid with the helmet.
Oh, yeah, no, I was the special kids class. And so ever since second grade, I went to resource classes. I actually, in middle school, I was both in the special people's class and the gifted class. I got to go to all the pizza parties.
Whoa.
And so after, by college, I had a professor. I'd walk up to him at the beginning of each class, and I'd say, pardon me, I'm going to have a little bit extra time on tests because I can't read very fast, and I have trouble remembering names and dates, so if you could just give me a little extra time, I can work through this. And one professor looked me in the eye and said, have you tried flashcards?
Wow, I'm 23 and I've never tried flashcards. You've cured me. And so I have gotten one email after the rant that had many explanation points and things that I think that they can do with pigs and feces. I did get an email saying, I really liked your comic. I thought it was sweet and cute. And then I read your rant. I can't read your comic anymore. And that was one email. And then I've gotten an email a week going, oh my God, I thought I was the only one. Thank you very much. And so I actually almost took the rant down because I was like, oh no, I offended someone.
Leave
no.
it up. No.
No.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
No.
I've got the gentleman over here with the very tired arm.
In regards to an ongoing storyline that may take days or weeks to finish out, how do you decide how to break that up and when to finish it?
Well, I have the basic storyline of SGBY already all mapped out, and it's all stored up in here, which is probably not very smart, but... But
would you put that?
Yeah.
That's the way it's working.
With the bugs.
Yes.
With the bugs.
But I have.
It's crowdsourcing.
Yeah. Well, actually, I do have it written down on a piece of paper, like basic points I want to get to. But like, I don't know the day to day. It's just I have like Yuki will get to this point, then Yuki will do this, then Yuki will do this, and.
Has she ever veered off course?
Yeah, actually, I do tweak it. And that's what's so great about it. I don't have it all written down. Because if I didn't, I wouldn't go, oh my God, I should do that, or something like that. And that's why it's mostly up here.
Mine, I have had long stories. I've had one that took 2 years. Yeah, it was 2 years to eventually finish. And some of it I was making up as it went along, but I did have the overall story points, the mm-hmm. you know, the plot point one, plot point two, like they tell you in short story class, which is ironic because it wasn't 2 years. That's not a short story.
Well,
you do have the flexibility to go off course, yeah. or crash through the guardrails sometimes. Yeah. And you just gotta let it go where it wants to go. Yeah. Sometimes
that's the joy of webcomics.
Yes, yeah.
Because you can do whatever you want.
Well, it's a matter of listening to your gut and deciding. In my case, if I get bored with something, then I know it's time to go on to something else and come back to it later.
Yeah,
because I know if I'm getting bored with it, the readers are getting bored with it.
Yeah,
I have been affected by fans in that. I did the Monkey Ninja Pirates, and I thought I was brilliant for inventing them, and nobody could care less, so they kind of died. But then the Pretty Princess is the second most popular character, and so I do need to try to pull her in a bit more. So fan reaction has adjusted. And I've heard that Joss Whedon, that Spike was supposed to be a one-shot, but the fans loved him.
Yeah.
So it is interesting to see how either the character takes control of the storyline, or just the feedback that you get controls the storyline.
Abby the Cat and Kevin and Kel was supposed to be a one shot. She was just supposed to be someone that Kel worked for after she got fired from Herd Thinners, and let me get a few automobile gags out of the way. And she just demanded to be a permanent part of the cast, which she is now.
Okay, and I've got a question here.
Yeah, in terms of starting out, if you have like a long story arc that you want to get to, but you're afraid to start off with that because you're fear that the exposition might bore everybody who's starting off with the comic, would you suggest like doing like several like kind of like one shot strips before introducing a long story arc, or should you just jump right in and whoever hangs along stays along?
Well, ask yourself, is it boring to you?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, really. Honestly, you should write for yourself, because you're not writing for an editor, you're not writing for a publisher, you're writing for yourself. And if you think to yourself, like, God, this is taking forever, then, yeah, it's taking forever. Just do that.
That is one double-edged sword of webcomics, mm-hmm. that when you're working in an environment where you've got an editor, you've got this second opinion that can tell you, you know, dude, you really need to tighten this up.
Yeah.
you have to be your own editor. Unless you've got a good friend, someone that who will tell you, that sucks.
Yeah.
And
actually
really
find
mean
an
it.
Enemy. Because find somebody who hates you. And if they're like, dude, this is pretty good. Yeah, no, find somebody that hates your gut.
Yeah.
So
you've got to be your own editor. And and like she said, if it's boring you, if it's confusing you, then yeah, maybe you need to break it up into smaller, more digestible chunks before you launch into the main course.
Yeah, because like when I'm writing the story, oftentimes I'll just like run through the storyline over and over and over until like I've got it down pat. And also like get your friends to help you out. And tell them, be brutal. Please tell me the truth. And or just like, you can go to online communities and they can help you out. Like, I have a chat, Montrose Chat. By the way, y'all should all get on Montrose Chat.
Yeah, the internet will totally tell you.
Yeah, they will.
You suck.
They talk about storylines amongst each other, and they'll help each other.
Bill.
Yes.
What?
Just following along, just listen to your gut. I mean, your gut will tell you when you're going on too long.
Unless you've eaten a bad burrito.
I just like that.
And that's
All right, and I've got a question back here.
I have a question from a writer's standpoint. I don't draw worth crap. But
that's
I have
never
really
stopped any of us. Or me.
I read your comics. Well. I know better. I don't believe you. I do work with a friend of mine, and we're trying to get this story off the ground. We've had these characters running around in our heads, blah, 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 blah. So I'm basically, we've already have this entire world set up.
Mm-hmm.
I have this story arc that I'm ready to start writing. Problem is that to me and her, there's just this huge background. That's basically taken 2 years of our friendship to form. So, do you have any suggestions on sort of having condensing a world around a plot point, around a plot period, as opposed to there's this character over here and there's this character over here and blah blah blah. Just it's an elaborate world and I'm having trouble condensing it.
Well, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever seen on something like that is was from David Gerold's book on the making of Star Trek, which was done back in the he wrote it back in the 70s, and basically he was talking about what was written in the Star Trek writer's Bible, and basically it was, don't try to explain everything, present it as it is, mm-hmm. let the characters live that world, the viewers in that case will catch on and they will learn about the world as it is revealed to them, and be true to that world. The example that was given in the writer's guide was a scene on a U.S. aircraft carrier, and there's a enemy boat coming towards them. It's on the radar. It's probably got a nuke on it. And the yeoman suddenly turns to the captain and says, oh, Captain, we're going to die, and hugs him and kisses him. That's not realistic, nor should it be on the bridge of a starship. You wouldn't. So let your characters live the world that you know that they live in. Mm-hmm. The audience will catch on.
And the world will reveal itself as you go on, because you'll start, you will start living in the world, too. And the characters.
Heavenly creatures.
And so don't give it to them in big doughy clumps of exposition.
Yeah.
Let them live in it, and it will be revealed to and that way, your readers will discover the world, and it will become real to them.
Yeah. The key is just remember action. Character is action. That's by a guy named Sid Field, who wrote a book called Screenplay, which is about writing motion pictures, but he has a lot in there that's about writing comic strips. He didn't know it at the time. He was just writing a screenplay guide, but a lot is applicable to our field as well.
The Alan Moore started Cliff Notes, and then Carlos B. McNeil picked up the same thing, and then I copied from Carlos B. McNeil of the back of the books. She had little Cliff Notes because she has this entire world that people are walking along, and a lizard will walk by behind her, and then somebody will fly up on a flying bicycle or something, and she won't explain any of that, but in the cliff notes you'll see, oh well, this is a race of creatures that does this and this and this. It wasn't pertinent to the plot, but it was this interesting detail of the universe. And I put in the background of my comics these cliff notes of, oh well, you know, little details about each strip, and that actually pulls readers in more. It's a way to get them to interact on the forums, get them to buy the books.
And how much are the books again?
$20 for graphic novel, $5 for the comic books.
Yeah. And cheap at twice the price.
I'm under the escalators.
I know I keep asking questions. I've noticed that most webcomics have a similar layout. You know, you got your newest comic on the front page, maybe a little blog area, and forums and stuff. Do you guys teach yourself Dreamweaver? Do you hire out to webmasters, or is there like a webcomics layout R Us somewhere that you got, you know?
You teach yourself.
I'm a graphic designer, but like I went to college to be a graphic designer, and so I learned how to make websites. Well, actually, they didn't teach me how to make websites. I had to teach myself. And that's actually, I feel, the best way to do it. Like, really go search around for, like, the way I taught myself is I would look at other people's websites, look at their code, and basically, like, copy that or, well, like, you know, copy the code and then, like, design the site around that. And also, a really good thing to do is to make a programmer friend. But there are, but.
But if you there's also a plugin called Comics Press for WordPress, which takes the WordPress blog software and turns it into comic software with archives and all that. There is a it's still in beta testing, but there's a really nice comics engine that I'm slated to be testing one of these days, called My Comics Express. Comics Express, and it's at mycomicsexpress.org. That's right. That's the one. It runs right now. It's running a site called The Watch, and it's got a really nice Web 2.0 back end with the full database integration. Really nice. A lot better than doing what I did, which was code my own from scratch.
Hand do it.
actually did it 3 times in 2 different languages. Don't do it in Perl.
No. Void PHP as well.
Well, I did my PHP wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But still, if you can, if you're not a programmer, or don't play one on TV, get somebody, get some help, or use one of these pre-made comics engines.
In my case, I got some help. A guy named Chris Kohler is my webmaster for KevinandKel.com, and I owe a lot to him.
Intimidated to learn it, even though, you know, you might eventually get someone else to do it, because then you'll understand what they're talking about when they're saying blah 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 blah, you know.
Yeah,
about
and it won't
the
sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
I'm insanely low tech and trying to learn. I use Dreamweaver Press, which is the paint by numbers of, you know, fill in the blank, and when I got stuck on stuff, I found that just doing a Google search for how to put image in forum post.
But also, going back to layout, like, don't feel like you have to do it like everyone else. Like, I don't present mine with the front comic on the front page because it's 5 pages at a time. Instead, I have, like, a link to the latest comic, then I have my blog and all the information. Like, you can do it that way, or if you think of a better way, do that too. I mean,
I just look at somebody else's site that I like and is easy to navigate, and then I steal it.
Don't feel bad stealing ideas.
Yeah. Good artists copy, great artists steal. Pablo Picasso, so.
True of programmers as well.
Yeah.
All right, and we have a question here.
John, this is specifically directed at you. I found your site because of the Watch crossover you did.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you could kind of go over some of the issues that you have doing crossovers as a digital web artist or digital comic artist as opposed to when you're sitting in the same office as you would as a print. Artists.
Well, working on it as doing the crossover was we couldn't have done it without the internet because we had our story conferences online with instant messaging. We FTP'd roughs back and forth between each other and character sketches and designs, things like that. So we were able to coordinate very, very well over the web rather than even if we'd just been on a telephone or something like that, the web made it very easy to share information and build up very quickly a pretty complex story and coordinate it between people in 5 states. In 4 different time zones, all 4 time zones. So, and crossovers, by the way, are if you can weasel your way into one with a popular strip, are a great way of building. As he just proved, because that was how he found my strip. It's a great way of increasing your exposure and gaining some audience too.
Yeah. The most extensive crossover in my strip was with the General Protection Fault, Jeff Darlington. It started at Dragon Con of 03, actually. Yeah. We were sharing a table, and we just started talking about doing some similar things, and it just, over the weekend, kind of snowballed. And I don't know how many people are familiar with General Protection Fault. It's an excellent strip. Yes, shout out. It ended up with 2 of his characters coming over to the Kevin and Kel world, being changed into animals and having some far-reaching canon effects on the both strips. Actually, it wasn't one of those non-canon crossovers. It actually impacted both worlds in a real way.
And they are collected in Oh the Humanity, available at booth at 50 over in the Artist Alley.
And how much do those cost again?
$14.95 plus tax.
My God, what a bargain.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And I've got a question right here.
Color or black and white?
That's your choice.
Black and white.
Color.
Oh, except the internet and then just like red.
Yeah. Rainbow of grayscale, whatever you want to do. I mean, it's really up to you. I find color better because I think it makes the comic pop out more for me, but
it's time consuming.
Well, I do a very flat style, and actually coloring is the fastest stage for me.
Save one at black and white in case you want to print it, and save one at color for the online.
Yeah.
If you're going to try to print for color, make sure you do it in CMYK. Yeah. Do not save it. I mean, you can do a color conversion, but it's best to do it in CMYK. First.
And probably avoid gradients if you're going to print it in most cases.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really just depends on what you want to do, like, as far as, like, presenting it. Like, color can add a lot to a comic.
I stink at color. I have to thank Terrence and Isabel Marks, who color Kevin and Kel. They do a fantastic job.
As opposed to the people who color your King feature
shows. That's another issue right there.
I was going to say this is a half question, but this is my 2 cents was I'd started black and white with the assumption that would make it faster, mm-hmm. and I found out because you have such a limited grayscale palette, because I didn't do gradients at all,
yeah.
that it wound up being easier to do color because I didn't have to fight with juxtapositioning. You know what I mean? In other words, I've used this level of gray here, and I've got another level of gray next to it that's the same. If I make it darker, then this thing has to get lighter, and color just wound up actually solving that problem.
Yeah.
But again, like you, I do a flat palette. And
that's also my problem. I found that the comic just didn't pop out as much when I did it in grayscale, because like the first chapter is pretty much black and white, but then I switched to color and it felt better. But it's all up to you.
The lady with the blue hair had one.
Where? Oh, I'm sorry.
One of the biggest problems I have is actually coming up with a title for my comic. So how did you guys come up with yours?
Yeah. Mine's a play on the phrase heaven and hell of opposites coming together.
Wow.
Well, my characters are centaurs, and it wasn't on purpose. One thing followed another, so. Yeah.
Mine's a parody of, like, magical girl titles, like Cardcaptor Sakura or Pretty Soldier Sailor Moon, so Sparkling Generation Valkyrie Yuki sounded awesome to me. Mr. Air Conditioner thought that, too. He and I were drinking. Yay! Yay, vodka! And beer!
Once upon a time, a friend of mine said he'd put my comic strips up on the internet because I just did, like, hey, this funny thing happened once type of journal thing. And so we figured that.
So you will get feedback.
Yes. Yeah.
Tip your waitress.
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be here through tomorrow.
Eating rooms is here.
Yep. Yeah.
But I took a list, poll from all my friends. I said, hey, think up a name, a title for something, anything, whatever. And my friend DJ, who just loves making names for things, said, oh, use the devil's panties. And I said, well, what is that? And she said, well, you know, if I was going to have a band, then I would have named it the devil's panties. And I was like, DJ, you don't play an instrument.
That's no excuse
she
not
said,
to
yeah,
have a band name.
And I had a whole list of names. I wanted to call it Reality's Victim. And every single person, I was working at a pizza place, and every customer that came in, I said, hey, which name do you like more? And every single time I got to the devil's panties, they would stop and go, I don't know what that is, but I want to find out.
Yeah.
And I think I was at the second or third convention that I ever went to. I was trying to figure out some sort of quick, like, somebody's walking by and you have a half a second to sell your comic to them. And so we went down all this thing of, oh, what's it about? And I completely forget how we got onto it, but satanic porn. It's about satanic porn. The comic strip is autobiographical. The ones last week were about knitting. But that's not, it's not going to make you want to read the comic if I say, yeah, this is about knitting. Mowing the lawn.
Yeah. You'll know the title when you hear it. It'll just come to you.
And then I found out where the title really came from.
Uh-oh. And now, the rest of the story.
So, about 2 years ago, this comic has been up since 2001. So it was several years of me having printing on merchandise and everything, the devil's panties, and having my angry, violent, feminist, stompy boot, one step away from lesbian comic. Up on the internet, these two girls come bouncing up, and they're like, oh, the devil's panties, I love that movie. And I went, what? Uh-oh. What movie? Oh, well, you know, that Sandra Bullock movie. What? Apparently, because I haven't ever seen it, in Miss Congeniality, there is a line, and I don't know what I haven't heard it, but I think it goes something like, I wanted to get the red undies, but my mom wouldn't let me because she said that they were Satan's panties. So apparently the devil's panties came from Miss Congeniality.
And to take the bitter taste of that out of your mouth, I have a question here.
You're going to regret those words real fast.
Why are you going
to? Kitty Hawk, directed at you.
Yes.
What will happen first? Will Mew Mew Chan fight Loki, or will...
Or will you finish your question?
Batman
or will Yuki
Spider-Man
and her special friend move past Cheesecake?
Ooh. Ooh.
Is this a bounce ka bounce wound joke?
Yes. I mean, that's a spoiler, dude. Why do you want me to give a spoiler?
Because we want to know.
Well, that's why you've got to read SGBY.com. Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki.
And what can you buy there?
Oh, well, you can buy fabulous USB drives, T-shirts, and give donations. Tip your webcomic artist.
Okay, which is more likely to happen first?
Okay.
Or at all.
That's a spoiler, dude.
Is it going to be the clone of the twins' lesbian lover?
Well, okay, I'll say this. Yuki will probably eat a sandwich before that happens.
Okay, on that.
That's a spoiler, dude.
Hi, guys. I'm currently publishing weekly with mine because that's about all that my schedule and ability will allow. And trying to cut my time down per strip without sacrificing quality. But how long does it take you on any given strip just typically to create that day's strip?
Does that include the writing?
That is the longest part, I've discovered, yes.
2 hours.
Anywhere from 36 to 72 hours. It's 5 pages at a time, full color.
Yeah, about anywhere from 36 to 72 hours per page, because I'm doing about five or six pages at a time now.
A single strip for me, from penciling, lettering, inking... that takes about 40 minutes. The writing can take anywhere from 1 nanosecond to a week.
depends on how much beer there is in the house.
Yes.
And how long I've been awake and how much coffee is in my system.
You mean this makes you write better?
It for, makes for you the think time you write
being, for the time that you're drunk, yes.
Bullshit.
But whatever you do, don't sober up.
Okay, this leads into a question I've got, which is writing, sitting down and say writing a week's, month's, or year's worth in one sitting versus doing it the night before, a couple of days before the strip is due. Caveat, yeah, exactly, or 2 hours later, daylight, as with my readers. Caveat to that, should you have a buffer of strips?
I wish Pete Abrams were here.
Discuss.
Oh.
That's not fair.
What's his buffer? Does anybody
Zero.
Know?
Yeah.
His buffer
Mine's
is Bob.
Four.
Isn't that the guy who does the insert strips? Bob?
Shirt Guy Tom.
No, that's it. Shirt Guy Tom. Yeah, that's his buffer.
Shirt Guy Tom.
Right now, I'm at -6. I put up pencils.
Yeah. I don't have a buffer, mainly because the way I work, it's like I'll make even changes well into the inking stage on a comic if something hits me right then. So most of it is just like fly. I'm in the zone. So I like do the storyboard, then do the pencil, then do the ink, then do the color, and then do the lettering, and then I pass out. But or it will take a long time, but no buffer here.
I've in the past I've had as much as 6 weeks ahead. Oh, that was nice.
How's that feel?
I remember that.
How's that feel?
Am I missing
we'll
something?
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, is it like that, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Now.
And I've also
Who
been...
Who is that under the table?
It's my buffer.
I think you're missing an F in that.
Yes.
And where do I get one?
And an L. And there's been what was I talking about? squish, squish, squish.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
There have also been times when it was. What time is it? Damn. Better get started.
Yeah.
But yeah, a buffer is nice because it does allow you the freedom to be able to relax. And actually look at a strip and say, do I really want to post that? No, I need to fix this. Mm-hmm. And but you know, again, your work habits will vary.
Yeah.
Which is a nice segue over to Bill.
Which is my buffer is 6 to 8 weeks. I just finished the Kevin and Kel strips for late October.
Man.
Yeah, I think we have the exact the spectrum right here.
Yeah.
We've got -2 weeks.
-5 years, maybe?
Oh.
So I guess we should switch.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, and the other one is, do you believe in writing them as you go or doing the week's worth before you go, as opposed to being a buffer? I mean, even if you're not doing a buffer, do you feel like it's better that you're productive more on Monday rather than just doing it, taking time out of the rest of the week? Do you kill a whole day or just kill hours down the week?
I'd rather, go ahead.
Yeah. Whenever there's time.
Yeah. It's whenever I feel, you know, like I can get to it. I mean, and when I feel like it, because if I have stupid hand that day, if working on the comic is just going to end up, Yuki's going to be like this squiggle. It's going to look like, you know, home movies and about the writing of, like, a 5-year-old's adventure, like, with pirates and stuff.
Ooh, pirates.
Well, yeah, that could be cool.
Are they monkey pirates?
Ninja pirates,
monkey
the only true kind of pirate.
Robot zombie monkey ninja pirate.
We could just keep adding things to this.
Yeah, but I think the robot zombie monkey ninja pirate already happened.
Yeah.
Android.
Okay, I gotta think of something new. Okay.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaur Valkyries.
Dinosaur pirates. Copyright.
Yes.
This is how most Adult
Well.
Swim shows come about.
Okay, I've got
and
a question here.
And this would be funnier, but anyway.
Yeah.
How do you decide on your update schedules and stuff like that?
Just daily.
What you do if
Cal
you can't update.
Over here.
Do you mean originally, like when you were first starting the comic, or?
Just daily.
Yeah, I wanted more fans. I wanted more people to read it, so I just knew that I had to do it every day.
Yeah. One important thing to when you're making that decision is not so much what is my update schedule going to be, but can I maintain the update schedule?
Yeah.
Because one of the most important things, one of the things that will kill your webcomic, dead, because I've done it several times to mine, is a hiatus. If you can't get it updated, find something, pictures of your dog, and something so that there is, so that people will come back on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. If you announce a hiatus, you know, if a family member dies, okay, they're going to understand that. But if it's because the real world has intruded into your life again, and work is you know, taking up too much of your schedule, they don't care about that. But get something regular. If you need to get a guest artist to help you out, do that. It's work for Pete. But a hiatus will kill you. And so it's not so much what your schedule is going to be, but make sure that you can keep that schedule.
Mm-hmm. I've lost the button.
Oh, no.
They turned you off.
No, push the button, Frank.
This is kind of related. If you start off daily to get a lot of readers, but you don't really have time for it, you're just pressing it to try and get more readers, how do you think they'll react later when you cut it down? You suggest like maybe three times a week, then once a week if you're progressing towards once a week, or do you have any experience with that?
Three times a week, or start taking pictures of your dog.
No. Start out slowly.
Yeah, start out slowly.
One of the powers of the comic strip is its daily or three or four or five time a week continuity, where you can get readers into a habit. Some of the comics that I really liked have at times gone back to one time a week or two times a week, and it's hard to maintain a continuity with that kind of schedule. But three times a week or more, I think you're really taking advantage of the medium's power of creating characters that people want to follow on a daily basis.
Okay. Last question?
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, absolutely. Last question.
A lot of water.
We'll take two more questions.
Okay, cool.
I've been a fan of both Access Centaurs and Kevin Kell. I'm trying my brother's a fan to see Devil's Panties here.
I'm sure satanic porn is just isn't your cup of tea.
Anyways, point is... Sorry, Chan.
Yuki.
Anyways, I'm back on topic. But that kind of deals with update schedules. If you're trying to keep an update schedule, but you vary from it, and also how would you support a webcomic but like Bill has his patron program, you have your store, how would you support it otherwise?
How would we support it if we didn't have those?
Yes.
Donations.
Some people are doing it just because they enjoy doing webcomics, and they're doing it out of their own pocket and doing it just for the joy of it. They're not trying to make any money off of it.
Which you don't for the first 4 to 6
no,
years.
Don't,
and
no.
And the thing is that like even some of like the best artists don't ever really make much money off their stuff. Like Steve Purcell didn't make much money. Like the guy who did Sam and Max, he didn't make much money until the games came out, really.
But you can offer donation incentives. Like you can offer wallpapers or downloads or, you know, the little thank you card or something.
And PayPal is your friend because you can sell things through that. Like, you don't really have to have the fancy store's nice, but you can just do things like, hey, send, like, you could make, like, T-shirts or something like that. And I've done this, like, hey, just send me, you know, $15 for the shirt. Please put your size in there, and I'll send you one. That'll get you through in the beginning, but once you start getting a little bigger, you might want to think about a store. And their PayPal does have like store tools that you can use that are really helpful. And since PayPal can just take credit cards instead of like, you know, taking just PayPal accounts, that comes in handy too.
But if you're starting out and you're doing this to make money,
yeah,
don't do that. That shouldn't be your motivation, because there's only one Gabe and Tycho.
You're
not them.
and even so, like, it, once you start, like, I don't do this for the money. I do this because I like doing it. The money, what?
I'm saying if you have a successful comic, how would you maintain it in the end?
Monetarily or daily updates?
Monetarily.
Ads really help with that. Like, you can, like, get Google ads or Yahoo ads, and that can pay for the server right there.
You,
like,
get a sugar daddy.
A webcomic is generally a low overhead proposition. Aside from the bandwidth, pretty much paper and pencil.
It's one of the reasons you're a webcomic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't pay much for hosting a month, and I have, like, this is a conservative estimate, 40,000 regular readers, and I don't pay much. I think I pay, like, around $60 a month for hosting.
And that's something that's changed. It used to be much more expensive.
It used to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to wrap it up now, because obviously we have time and bladder constraints. But if you haven't read, you must immediately read all of the fine comics listed here. And if you have time left over, please read Vexar, but don't.
And come by their tables and buy lots of stuff from them.
And where can I get one of those drives again?
SGVY.com.
I do have one announcement. At midnight, at 12 to 12:30 in the Hyatt convention level, that's the lowest level before the basement, I will be kilt hunting with my leaf blower. If you would like to come and participate or take pictures, and I also have playing cards of photographs of Mint and their kilts with a leaf blower.
I'm going over to Dub Your Own Hentai over in the anime room tonight. It's going to be totally fun, 11:30.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.